Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing a lot better than I've been doing the past couple of weeks. That's why I wasn't able, as you know, I wasn't able to do the show because I was under the weather the past couple of weeks, sore throat, pink eye for the first time ever. I mean, it's been horrible, but you know, thank God I'm able to do the show this week. So I apologize, you know, to the listeners who was waiting for the next episode and, you know, they didn't know what was going on. So I apologize with that. I wasn't able to do it because I was sick, but, you know, thank God I'm able to do it. But, yeah, man, you know what we're here for. We're going to talk about give our predictions about the Super Bowl that's coming up tomorrow night. Of course, you know, it's going to be Patriots versus the Eagles. We're going to dive right into that momentarily, obviously. Then we're going to review the Royal Rumble, which I would have gave my picks last week, but unfortunately I was sick. So I'll just give you my, the results and what would have been my picks. And, talk about LeBron, possibly ruining his career even worse than the decision, potentially signing with a longtime rival. We'll get into that. And, of course, we'll talk about, the latest hot stove rumors surrounding the Mets, the Yankees, and even the Knicks, as they're facing some drama with Joakim Noah. But, of course, most importantly is, of course, the number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk any of these topics and more. But, let's just dive right into this Super Bowl. And tomorrow night is Super Bowl 52. The Patriots, they are the current defending Super Bowl champions. They're looking for their sixth title. Super Bowl title, and of course the Eagles, the three-time NFL champions prior to the the merger, the AFL-NFL merger in '70s, and a few years before that with the Super Bowl, they haven't won one yet. So the Philadelphia Eagles are they're going to try to win their first Super Bowl in franchise history, and hey, let's be honest, man. I pull no punches. Me and Mac are diehard New York sports fans, and two franchises and cities that hate New York sports teams more than any team is of course Philadelphia and Boston/New England. So me and Mac, we may agree on the same sports, and other than the Knicks and the Rangers, we don't agree on the same teams. But in this, we can honestly say that we wish this game would somehow, by some miracle, even though it won't happen, that it would end in a tie, because we both have no love lost for any team from Philadelphia or Boston. And obviously, we're talking about the Patriots and the Eagles. So, what's your thoughts on this upcoming Hell Super Bowl that we're going to be having tomorrow?
Well, I mean, it's two teams that I don't like, of course, being a Giants fan and NFC East, Giants, the Eagles being an NFC rival of the Giants, I don't like the Eagles. And Patriots, even though the Giants have beaten them twice in Super Bowl, I don't like them since, they win almost every year. So, you know, seeing these two teams play each other, I don't know, it's, you know, it's, I guess, a fan's worst nightmare. But, you know, these are the two best teams left. And, you know, the Patriots are looking to get their sixth Super Bowl title in 17 years, and Eagles are looking to get their first. You know, it's going to be a great game. You know, you got offense, defense, got a great quarterback. You know, two good teams. You know, it should be a really good game. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep, it's definitely going to be a great game. You know, me being a Jets fan, of course. You know, the Patriots is my least favorite team in the NFL. And you know, unfortunately, me being rooting for underdog teams, you know, I don't have the best of luck rooting against teams I hate. They always end up, you know, on the winning end. The Patriots, the Yankees, Cardinals, you know, St. Louis, that is. Phillies. Well, the Phillies, you know, they won finally in 2008. You know, it took them since 1980 to win one. But, you know, you name it, the team I hate. There's rarely a few teams like the Pacers, who I haven't seen win a championship. So, you know, tomorrow's going to be no different. I'm rooting for the Eagles, you know, as the lesser of the two evils. But unfortunately, I think Patriots are going to defend. I think Eagles will jump out to about a 10-point lead. You know, the Eagles are going to be riding high. You know, they'll score. They'll probably have like they'll probably jump into like a 2 or 3 touchdown lead. The Patriots will stay in the game. It'll be similar to last year's game when you think about it. And Eagles, you know, they have a high powered offense. You know, they always pile it on. You know, their defense is awesome as well. But you know, you just can't defeat the Patriots, no matter how good you are. You know, you got the winningest quarterback in Tom Brady, and you got that mad scientist who never smiles, Bill Belichick. You know, on that other side of the field, man, and they're tough to beat unless you got Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin on the other side of the sidelines. You're probably not going to win this game, so I think Patriots are going to come out with this. The Eagles will have a lead. Like I say, it'll be a 2 or 3 touchdown lead. Then Patriots will find a way to come back. Eagles will then towards the end it'll be like a close game, but you know Patriots will hold off once they get the lead.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think the Patriots are going to win this game. I don't think it's going to be close. You know, I think Eagles are going to get destroyed. I don't trust their quarterback, Nick Foles. You know, if Carson Wentz was still playing, then I think the Eagles would have a fair shot. But I think this is going to be a blowout. You know, this might be the Patriots' biggest blowout in a Super Bowl game than any of their previous 5 wins. So I see. This getting ugly real early.
I think you're right, man. I think this is going to be the worst loss for the Eagles this year. I mean, obviously, not to mention with the magnitude of, you know, the Super Bowl, you know, as the backdrop, kind of like the Patriots that first year when they were undefeated, they literally had their worst game in the worst possible time against, you know, Eli Manning and the Giants that nearly undefeated year. So I think Eagles are gonna, their Cinderella story is gonna end abruptly. I mean, they are the lesser of two evils. I almost said lesser of two Eagles, but they're, you know, I think I'm rooting for them. So since I'm rooting for the Eagles, you know, that means that's gonna be a loss for them. So you know, what can I say?
Yeah, you know, hopefully Eagles prove us wrong. Maybe they play well, and who knows, they make it a game. But I don't think it'll be a game tomorrow. I think Patriots are going to go win this going away.
So this will be honestly the first time, unless if the Giants needed some help to make it to the playoffs, this will be the first time you're rooting for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm not rooting for either team, to be honest, but I'm just giving my take on who's going to win. But I think the Patriots will win. So I guess you could say I'm rooting for the Patriots, maybe.
like I said earlier, I wish they both would lose. I wish there was a mathematically a way for them to both this game and end the draw, but that's not gonna happen. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens tomorrow night. But before we review the Super Bowl, of course we're talking about Tom Brady's legacy. His faith is already sealed. As the winningest quarterback, no matter what happens tomorrow night. But one man who's chasing after the legacy of Michael Jordan is, of course, LeBron James. And as we all know, LeBron James, he's won three NBA championships with every team. He's won with basically every team he's played for so far. He won the first two with the Heat after he took his talents to South Beach, which was a move I thought was a bad move because, it just showed that he was a mercenary. Obviously, it paid off with two NBA titles, of course. But he did redeem himself coming back to Cleveland and turned it to Believeland, brought them back that title, But now LeBron James is going to come up, is contemplating a decision, part two, a decision that's even worse than the first decision he did. Because, of course, he left, he took his talents to South Beach to become Dwayne Wade, his close friend's sidekick. But this time, he's going to go sell his soul to the devil to join forces with the team that's been his nemesis for the past 3 years, State Warriors. He's saying that he would contemplate signing with them. And let me make this crystal clear. If he signs with the Golden State Warriors, his legacy will be shot forever. I don't care if he wins five titles back-to-back-to-back-to-back and belly-to-belly-to-belly. If he joins them, this is going to be worse than the decision when he went to the Miami Heat. This is going to be worse than Kevin Durant. If you can't beat him, join him. And got his title for the first time. I mean, we could understand that. He never won a title. He took the easy way out. But if LeBron James does it again, I mean, come on. This is going to be disgusting. What's your thoughts?
I think it's fake news because I think pretty much he says he would listen to Golden State talk to him, but do you really think that he's gonna join the Golden State Warriors? First of all, the Warriors aren't gonna have the money to sign him, and they already have players on the team. There's not gonna be room for LeBron James to join him anyway, so I think it's fantasy right now. The media could run away with it as a big story, but I don't see it ever happening. If he does leave, I see him maybe going to the Lakers, maybe, or I don't know, maybe rejoining the Heat. I don't know. I don't see that happening, but it's a possibility. But I think he'll just stay in Cleveland. When all said and done, he'll stay in Cleveland and play out his career in Cleveland. So. This Warriors story, it's big news right now, but I don't see it ever happening. So
I disagree, dude, and I'll tell you why I think this is gonna happen. Two words: the decision.
Nah.
If he could leave his hometown team once, and remember, he didn't grow up a Cavaliers fan. He was a front runner for the Bulls because of Jordan's dominance. So if he could leave to be a front runner, and let me remind you again, he was a front runner growing up, rooting for the Bulls, the Dallas Cowboys, and the Yankees, teams that don't have a lot of losing seasons historically. Obviously, the Cowboys are on rougher times lately, but historically, those teams, especially in the 90s, and, you know, those teams have, you know, those teams made those teams put their franchises on the map. Well, especially the Bulls, you know, Bulls and the Yankees were always great. I mean, come on, I mean, they're the Yankees. They've always won titles. But the 90s, that's when Jordan put the Bulls on the map, basically. So this guy has always had the front runner / mercenary mentality. So it's not you know, a foregone conclusion that he's going to ditch his hometown team again just so he could get another ring and surpass Jordan for more championships.
I don't see him doing that for the Warriors. I mean, that, you know, LeBron James is smart. You know, he'll tell you what you want to hear. But the Heat thing was completely different. I mean, the Heat thing, you know, he was a free agent for the first time. He didn't have a ring. He wanted to test the free agent market. He wanted to join Dwayne Wade. They won a championship, but I mean, the Warriors, they're loaded with stars already. I don't see him, and there's not gonna be any room for him. Like,
yeah,
if you
exactly.
put him on the Warriors, like, what does he? Where does he? What position does he play on the Warriors? And
exactly.
How much money do they pay him? You know, like, where are they gonna find that money to pay him? Like. It doesn't make. There's a lot of things that don't make sense if that does happen.
Maybe they'll fire Curry and make him the player coach.
I don't know.
But yeah, seriously, there is no room for him, and financially, that was the asterisk. It would have to make sense financially because he's not gonna take a slight pay cut like he did to go to Miami to win the title. So obviously, it would have to make sense.
Hello, everybody. Sorry about that. I had a technical difficulties, you know, I got cut off the air, so hopefully Mac will call back and I get him back on the air. So basically, like I was saying, it definitely wouldn't make sense for him to leave, you know, it wouldn't make sense for him to leave Cleveland, you know, but, you know, financially and, you know, legacy wise, but hey, Mac, you here?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, I just literally got got cut off, and then I literally got back. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
basically, I was just basically saying that, you know, it definitely doesn't make sense for him to go back there. I mean, you know, to leave the city, but, you know, but then again, you know. You know, he did it once. He could do it again. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, you know, let's move on to the Royal Rumble. And basically, you know, the kickoff matches was the Revival defeating, you know, the Good Brothers of Gallows and Karl Anderson, Kalisto, Metalik, and Dorado defeated Gulag and Jack Gallagher and TJP. But as you know, the real pay-per-view event, Royal Rumble, started with AJ Styles defeating Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn in a 2-on-1 handicap match for the WWE title. And obviously, you know, AJ Styles retained. No surprise there. No, a decent match. Oh, what did you say?
As expected, AJ Styles won.
Yeah, I just thought that match should have went on a little bit later. I mean, it's a WWE title. It shouldn't have let off the show.
Yeah, but, like, have you noticed, like, the last AJ Styles matches have been in the beginning instead of towards the end? Why is that?
It don't make no sense. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. He's a WWE champion. He should not be. He should not. This kind of reminds me of how they treated CM Punk. He was a champion, but they were elevating Cena over him, which basically led to him leaving, even though apparently, you know, he's friends with Cena. But, yeah, I don't know why they're putting AJ Styles first. They should have put the Usos and Benjamin and Gable match first, and that was the worst two out of falls tag team match I've ever seen. Like, Uso swept them, like, easily. Like, that was a waste of time, really.
That
was surprising. I don't think I've ever seen a 2 out of 3 falls match of any kind that ends with someone sweeping them. And in a matter of minutes.
The Usos are proving that, they're the real deal,
Yeah. I'm looking forward to them finally facing the Bludgeon Brothers after, Harper and Rowan got, packaged. And hopefully the former Wyatt family brothers will finally win a tag team title. But we'll see. That'll be down the line. They kind of teased that on SmackDown. But the Royal Rumble, the men's Royal Rumble was pretty good. They had some surprises. Rey Mysterio returned, which I was totally surprised about that because from what I was reading and hearing, Rey Mysterio wasn't going to go because his manager was Conan, who was, a former wrestler in WWE. And I think he's back in TNA. Yeah, he's back with TNA. I think he's the manager of LAX, Hispanic faction. But they had a lot of heat with Conan. He used to be Max Moon in the 90s, the early 90s. And he had bad heat with WWE. So I thought, since Conan was Rey Mysterio's manager, I didn't think – I think that would, ruin Rey's chances of coming back. But luckily they looked past it, and they let him come back. As of right now, it's a one-time thing, but – it looks like Ray hinted that if he comes back again, he'd like to fight AJ Styles, in a future matchup, which I think that would be a pretty awesome match.
Yeah,
and Rey Mysterio, man, he hasn't looked this healthy since his first time when he first popped up on WWE the first time. Like, he was completely healthy. He was doing his old moves. It was great to see him back.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think whether
Hurricane was a surprise entrance.
Oh, Hurricane was another good surprise. I didn't see that coming out of nowhere. It was funny. He tried to choke slam John Cena, but he just got eliminated quickly. And then, the most biggest news of that Royal Rumble was Shinsuke Nakamura finally won his first Royal Rumble match, in his, his Royal Rumble debut, if my memory serves me right. And he became, the first real Japanese wrestler to win the Royal Rumble, Has Yokozuna won it before? I think so, right? But that was before the...
Yeah, Yokozuna won it in 93.
That was before that was the first time they had the stipulation where you faced the champion, right? That's why he
he won in 93.
Was it like that year?
No, it was 93. Yokozuna is not Japanese, really.
No, I know that. That's why I said Shinsuke Nakamura is the first real, put it in quotes, first real Japanese wrestler because, Yokozuna is Samoan, but he did resemble a Yokozuna wrestler from Japan, so... Penn State, had that Japanese gimmick, so that's what I was saying. Shinsuke Nakamura is the first real Japanese wrestler to win the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And he defeated Roman Reigns, which was the favorite, to win. Win it, but I'm glad Shinsuke won.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, if I was able to do the show last week, I would have predicted Roman Reigns to win, but I was hoping that Nakamura would win. So I would have been pleasantly surprised. I didn't think Nakamura was going to win. I wanted Nakamura to win, but I thought they would give it to Roman Reigns and set up that Brock Lesnar matchup. But WWE did the right thing. So now they're going to have Nakamura face AJ Styles at WrestleMania, and this is going to be a rematch of their Wrestle Kingdom 10 match, you know, from a few years ago when they were both in Japan. So, this is going to be awesome. But
yeah,
obviously it's not.
Match. That should be the main event.
Oh, hands down. But I think AJ has to face Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens. Depending on whoever wins between the best friends are going to battle for the number one contender spot this SmackDown. And whoever wins is going to face AJ Styles for the title, I think at Fastlane, next month, I believe. So there's a small chance AJ Styles won't be a champion, but, you know, I'm 99.99% sure AJ will win the Fastlane pay-per-view event. So that's a little spoiler alert there for my Fastlane predictions, you know, when that pay-per-view comes out. But, then afterwards, you know, Cesaro and Sheamus defeated Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan. I thought that was going to happen because Jason Jordan, you know, they've been teasing him having a heel turn, you know, for a long time. So I'm not surprised they lost as a result of Jason Jordan not being participating. But I thought Jason Jordan would literally turned on them, you know.
Yeah.
Similar to Seth Rollins turning on the Shield a few years ago, you know, in a non-match, but that's why I thought Jason Jordan would have finally showed his true colors. But Jason Jordan was hurt, and Seth Rollins was left alone to get beat up by the bar. So no surprise there. Cesaro and Sheamus win to become the new tag team Raw champions. And then afterwards, you got the Universal Championship triple threat match, which we all knew Brock Lesnar would defeat Braun Strowman and Kane. But one thing, I don't know if you noticed, in the match, Braun Strowman accidentally kneed Brock Lesnar in the face. So as a result, Brock Lesnar was so PO'd that he broke character. After he got kneed to the face, he didn't sell the knee to the face, the legitimate knee to the face that he got kicked. He popped up. He popped up quicker than a kip up, and he body shot him in the gut, and then he like sucker punched him in the ear. So Brock Lesnar was
PO'd,
that video. You know, that was insane. Braun Strowman would later apologize to him, you know, afterwards, you know.
That's
but
funny.
Brock Lesnar won, you know, no surprise there. And then you have the first ever women's Royal Rumble match. And this one, I have to admit, it really exceeded my expectations. They had a lot of surprise, you know, women competing, from the past competing. I mean, I had a feeling Trish would win. I mean, Trish would make an appearance since she was on Raw. And not to mention, I thought she would be the 30th, which there was no surprise there. I thought Lita would have appeared a little later, towards the late 20s. But she popped up as 5. But yeah, there was a lot of surprises in the woman one, like Beth Phoenix, Molly Holly, Jackie. I mean, Jackie was a semi surprise because she was on Raw this past Raw for the Raw 25, which was a dud, to be honest with you. I thought that was gonna be awesome Raw 25 because the legend ones are usually awesome, but basically, WWE made the legends wave to the audience, and also play cards with JBL. So they really wasted the legends' time at Raw 25. That was a waste of time. I don't know what you thought about that show.
About what?
Raw 25.
About which one?
About
oh
the
no,
legends,
yeah, I loved
the legends'
it.
Time.
I yeah,
thought it was
I
a
loved
waste
it.
Of time. I disagree.
Well,
I think on religion.
The only thing is during that show is that the whole, you know, them bringing out Razor Ramon and then, you know, going to a quick commercial. I didn't like that. you know, because Razor Ramon was one of my favorite WWE wrestlers growing up, and just bring him back was great, but then cutting back to a commercial, there's an interest,
yeah.
I thought that was messed up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm don't get me wrong. I was happy to see the legends come back, but the WWE underutilized them. I didn't like Undertaker. They didn't give him like a they didn't give him like a definitive speech. You know, it kind of sounded like he was retiring, but it wasn't definitive. Not to mention, I think they could have did better in the Manhattan Center to try to make his entrance seem more, you know, Undertaker-like. It kind of reminded me of Sting, you know, Sting at WrestleMania, having his match, his appearance at daytime instead of the night. You know, it took away from the mystique of a typical Undertaker entrance. And, of course, you know, that Razor Ramon cutting his intro to the commercial, that was an utter joke. And I thought them having the people just wave and play cards was a waste of time. They should have utilize those people a lot more. Back to the Royal Rumble, they had a lot of surprises, a lot of surprise people, and most importantly, Asuka, she won the first ever Royal Rumbles match, so she's going to either be facing, I'm trying to remember, Charlotte for the SmackDown title, or Alexa Bliss for the women's, Raw's title, and before she can make her decision, Ronda Rousey shocked the world. Everybody knew that there was rumors that she was going to sign eventually, and some people even thought she would come into the Royal Rumble, but Ronda Rousey finally made it official, and she's in the WWE, and she's going to have a match at Royal Rumble at WrestleMania, probably her debut match. So whether it'll be against whoever Asuka doesn't choose, or will it be against Stephanie, who knows? But we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, that should be interesting. By the way, at one point, going back to Asuka, you know, if you go to Google Images and look up her name, you'll see some scantily clad photos of her, where she's done some lingerie modeling and some risque shoots in the past. So Google Asuka, and you'll see some very sexy pics of her from the past.
Excuse me. So what did you think about, you know, her winning, you know, winning the Royal Rumble, which made her and Shinsuke Nakamura, both people from Japan, winning, you know, on the same day?
I thought they were both deserving. You know, I was surprised when Shinsuke won it, but I wasn't surprised when Asuka won it, because Asuka right now is hands down the best female wrestler in the females division. So there's no surprise there. But Shinsuke was kind of surprising. You know, it looks like WWE really wants to push him, but he deserved it. You know, and I think the match between him and AJ is gonna be great at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I thought Asuka was going to win. Asuka would have been my pick, to be honest with you, too, because Asuka, she's been undefeated ever since she stepped foot in America. You know, she's undefeated. She retired as the reigning undefeated NXT Women's Champion, and now in WWE, she's still undefeated. So I know for sure she's going to win the Royal Rumble and keep that undefeated streak alive. She's gonna win that. She's gonna go into Goldberg mode and win the women's title, most likely at WrestleMania. And then after that, all bets are off. You know, maybe she'll finally lose at SummerSlam. And so all in all, I thought it was a real good Royal Rumble. I mean, you know, the WWE really gave the fans what the fans wanted to see. And not to mention the NXT takeover in Philadelphia was really good as well, you know. So, what's his name again? Cian Almas. You know, he retained the NXT title and he made his WWE debut at the Royal Rumble. I'm trying to remember where the matches happened. Yeah, I mean, it was the NXT TakeOver match, pay-per-view prior to Royal Rumble was pretty good, too. So I definitely would advise people to check that one out as well. The Mets, you know, now they're rumored to be going after Lance Lynn. Still interested in Eduardo Nunez, Todd Frazier, but they think he's using the Mets just to go back to the Yankees. But one guy that they're not going to go after, who I think they should go after, is Mike Moustakas. I mean, the guy has won a championship. You know, he's a star first baseman, third baseman. I think he'd be perfect in a Met uniform, but Kenny Alderson.
No, you okay?
You know, I don't know. My throat is starting to act up now. I don't know, but but Kenny Alderson, apparently is not interested in him because when Moustakas only plays third base, and if they sign him, they'll lose a third round draft pick. Which I'm like, are you serious? This guy is going to help you win, and you're worried about a third round draft pick. If you don't want to sign the guy for the money, just admit it. But this spring training is horrible. I mean, nobody's signing. Yu Darvish, I mean, we're waiting for him to sign with the Yankees or the Brewers or back to the Dodgers. And, you know, all the top guys are still out there. Eric Hosmer is still out there. I mean, this is the worst hot stove ever. I mean, you know, nobody's making moves, and none of these guys are signing. So it is what it is.
Yeah, Mets need to do something, man. Stop watching other people make moves. Do something already.
Yeah. The only time Mets are making moves is when they say they're considering somebody. That's all they've been doing this whole offseason, with the exception of signing Adrian Gonzalez, who's washed up, and signing Swarzak, who had a decent year as a decent guy in the bullpen. But other than that, they haven't made any moves whatsoever. And this is the offseason that, I mean, it's delivered. They could have a great offseason if they would actually spend the money. If they would sign, Moustakas, you know, get Lance Lynn, who's a durable number three starter. Then you also you could sign Jonathan Lucroy, Sami Zayn's double ganger, who plays good defense and could be a leader on the team. Yeah, if they make these moves, you know, they could be a playoff contender. You know, they could make some moves in the off season, in the playoffs.
Yeah,
but
come on.
They
That'd
have
be like Cardi B,
approach. Yeah, they gotta make money moves, man. Sure, they're not making no moves. They're making bargain basement moves, and that's what they missed the playoffs last year. So they need to get their act together, or else they're gonna be playing golf with the Marlins in April and in October. So they better get their act together. But the Knicks, on the other hand, you know, they have issues with Noah. Noah had an argument with Hornacek, and he's not expected to be back with the team at least until the trading deadline on February 8th. Porzingis thinks the team should go after some star players to try to make this team a playoff team, but I'm like, this team is not going anywhere. They should just keep the young core guys like Porzingis, Ntilikina, and Kanter. Kanter is like the only veteran guy that they should keep. Everybody should go. Jared Jack, he played well, but to trade him away, let them develop Ntilikina, let Trey Burke and Ntilikina play in the backcourt and develop and have the other young guys play. And, you know, congratulations to Porzingis. He's going to be the lone Nick All-Star. So he's going to make it there.
Congrats, Unicorn.
Finally, I thought Porzingis, I thought Kanter should have went in. But, you know, it is what it is. But you have any last words you'd like to say?
Check out my show, iMac, here in a few. Super Bay Bowl tonight. And have a great Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow.
You heard the guy. Check out my show, Sports Urban Legend, every Saturday is at 11. And check out iMac every Sunday is at midnight. He's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next week. Peace.